You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Mark, the 5th chapter. Still teaching on peace and comfort. Hallelujah. Y'all glad you came?
Yes, sir.
You know God wants to give you peace. He's the God of peace. He's not the God of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. I don't know what turmoil you might be going through or what kind of a depression you may be fighting or what anxiety that you know may be coming across your path, but it is not God's will. It is not your cross to bear. It is not Paul's thorn in the flesh. It's not your thorn.
That's right.
He came to give us peace. In fact, Jesus said, "These things have I written unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world."
Amen.
Now, I believe that. How about you?
Yes.
I believe that these things were written to us that in Jesus we might have peace. Now think about it. It's not in these things He wrote that we have peace. These things are written that we'd understand that in Him we have peace.
Yes.
In Jesus we have peace. It is a personal relationship. It's not a concept. It's not an idea. It's not a bunch of principles. It's a person. And the closer you get to Him, the more peace you have. Anyone ever been in a mess, turmoil, and so on? And then if you just get alone, you get away, you get with Jesus, you finally pray. I don't know what takes us so long to do that. You finally pray, and just this overwhelming peace comes. His presence comes. That's because it's in Him.
Yes.
It's not in what we do. It's in Him.
Yeah,
and so if we just get to Him, we'll get that peace. Hallelujah. Here's a perfect case of that, or example of that, in Mark the 5th chapter. Of course, there's several things happen in Mark the 5th chapter. That woman with the issue of blood is healed, and Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead. Wow. Man, I tell you, this is exciting stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, there's tragedy, sure. There's crisis, sure. But unlike the news you hear on TV, there are wonderful outcomes in the Bible.
Yes.
In the Bible, tragedy turns into triumph. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that people get healed and get raised from the dead even. Hallelujah.
Right.
This is the case in the 5th chapter. I won't go over the whole thing, the first part of the 5th chapter. Is where this man was possessed by demons in the Gadarenes, the country of the Gadarenes. The Bible says, the 5th chapter, first verse, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains." Man, this is just demonic oppression or possession. "And because he had been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him." I mean, this guy's in torment. He said, "I don't know what kind of torment you're in, but I mean, this guy was totally possessed. I mean, chained, and he'd break chains, and nobody could tame him. He was wild, and his thoughts, I'm sure, were just going nuts, crazy all over the map. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones." Man, this is not a good place to be in your life. But then along comes Jesus. I think of that old song. "And then along came John, slow talking John." Well, anyway, Jesus comes along. Half of y'all went. Those are everybody under 40 anyway. The older people got that, right? You got it? Okay. You didn't want to admit you're old, but anyway. You laughed and it's over. But anyway, Jesus came. And when Jesus comes, everything's different. Everything changes. When he comes along, I'll tell you what, he turns sorrow into joy.
Uh-huh.
Darkness into light. And this bondage that this man was under into freedom. I think it's significant this man ran to Jesus. Actually, there was enough in him to cry out to Jesus. Although he was possessed, he knew he needed this help. And he cried out to Jesus. It says, 6th verse, "When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him." See, that in possession, when someone's possessed, they can go in and out. I mean, they can be themselves, and then this possession takes over. And so this man worshiped Jesus, but these demons begin to cry out too. And it says that he cried out with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you or adjure you by God that you torment me not." I always thought it was fascinating when the devils challenged Jesus. And they would use God, it would invoke God to do it. Of course, they didn't recognize him as a man anointed by the Spirit of God. They recognized him as being from God and God in the flesh, but they didn't figure he had a right to do what he was doing because this was man's domain, man had sinned, so they had a right to be here and possess these people. But Jesus, what they didn't recognize was he was not just the Son of God, he was the Son of Man. That's another teaching altogether. But he had his authority as a man. He didn't have his authority as being the Son of God. He had a right to give life because he was the Son of God. He was given authority because he was the Son of Man. That's why you and I can carry on and do what he did, because we're men and women. And the earth God's given to the children of men. Till he comes back, till he takes it all over, what's wrong with this world is us. And if we're going to get it right, we're going to have to get right. God moves, and he moves through us. And in Jesus' case, even the devils didn't understand it. You know, it's fascinating. This is kind of a side note. You can study this out. But if you go through every single case where the devils cried out and addressed Jesus, they always called him the Son of God. But Jesus' pet name for himself was the Son of Man. So here they were challenging him because God didn't have a right in that case. They had a right because of sin, and because the earth was in sin, the earth was man's. And they didn't recognize the fact that Jesus was going to cast that thing out as a man. Sinless man, holy man, perfect man. They challenged him as the Son of God, and they actually adjured him or implored by God that he did not torment them. They thought they had a case in the court of heaven. You don't have a right to do this. This man's possessed. He made this choice. This earth is man's. The sin of Adam has come upon it. Well, Jesus obviously paid a lot of attention to that, turned around and said, "Come out." I probably hope to a whole big can of worms there with that authority of man, authority of God, but still, nonetheless, the Bible does teach this. This is why we can continue on and do what Jesus did, because Jesus did what he did as a man. He didn't do what he did as God. If he did what he did as God, then you and I couldn't follow suit. But he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, that whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do it." If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Woo! How is that possible? Because he did what he did as a man, sinless, perfect, holy man. He was God, he was man, but he died on the cross as a man, and he healed the sick as a man, and he raised the dead as a man, and he cast out devils as a man, and he sent his disciples out to do the same thing. Sent out the 12, sent out the 70, and then he sent the whole church out. Then he sent us out. Woo! Somebody needed that. That wasn't what I was teaching on. But the story goes on, and I won't belabor all the details here. It'd do you good to read it. He finally, you know, come down to it. It wasn't just one devil, it was several devils. And he said, "What is your name?" And he didn't tell them. The demons didn't tell Jesus their name. They just said, "Legion, for we are many." They didn't list all the names. And it really doesn't matter what the names are. I think sometimes when people are trying to get delivered and get help and people casting out devils, they feel like they have to name the spirit. And no, that's a game show, isn't it? Name that spirit, something like that. In the Bible, they didn't do that. They just said, "Come out." And they didn't name them. Jesus didn't even turn around and say, "Legion, come out." He just said, "Come out." He cast them into the swine. In fact, there was 2,000 swine there that were being fed. Bootleg swine, incidentally. Because Jews weren't supposed to eat pork, remember? Think about it. I mean, you know, you run through this and you say, "Well, that wasn't there. What happened there? I mean, all those 2,000 pigs died. That doesn't sound right. What's the deal there?" Well, they weren't supposed to eat pork. So they were bootlegging these pigs. I mean, that's what it, can you, I mean, is there any other way to say it? I mean, what did they do with them? They were eating them. They weren't supposed to. Anyway, the demons asked to be cast into the swine. That's exactly what Jesus gave permission, and they did. And all the swine ran off the, you know, ran off the cliff into the water and died. And of course, those that were keeping the swine, they were a little upset. In fact, they wanted Jesus to leave. He'd messed up their business.
Yep.
They're going to have to start making bootleg whiskey or something now. They're bootlegging pigs. But it says in the 14th verse, "So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened." 15th verse. "Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were all afraid." Wow. Man, there's so much in that. I mean, I could just have a camp meeting on that verse. Now, I've got some other verses I want to get to. But anytime you get to Jesus and sit down at Jesus' feet, you will finally, oh, happy day, finally get in your right mind. In fact, you're not in your right mind if you're not sitting at Jesus' feet. Because soundness of mind and peace and rest, tranquility, true peace, true rest, true clear thinking only comes when we get to Jesus. It only comes when we sit down with Him one-on-one. See, you and I, in many cases, just need a come-to-Jesus meeting. That's what we need. We need to get to Him. You know, we go to church, thank God, and we should. And we read our Bibles, and we should, absolutely, no question about it. And we petition God for things, and we pray about things. But you know, you need to sit down with Jesus. You need to love on Him and let Him love on you. You need to talk to Him. Let Him talk to you. That's where soundness of mind comes from. And here's this man, all messed up till he got to Jesus. Tormented till he got to Jesus. Many of you are tormented. I'm tormented in many cases with things in life. Not to this extent, maybe. But still, if I get to Jesus, the torment leaves. The chains fall off. Hallelujah. Soundness of mind comes back. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And soundness of mind is in Jesus. It's not in a teaching. It's not in a doctrine. It's not in just fellowship with one another. Those are important things. But Jesus is not a teaching. He's not a doctrine. He's not a principle. He is a person, and He is our peace.
Yes.
I don't know how to say that or hammer that any stronger, but it is a relationship. You need to be still and know that He is God. That's what the Scripture says. "Thou wilt keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed fixed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Because I trust God. Because I'm fixed on God. Because I'm fellowshipping and worshiping Him, I trust Him, hallelujah, and I have peace.
Amen.
I know the shepherd's there. I know the shepherd's watching over me. I know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down by the green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me.
Yeah.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Amen.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But see, that's just a consciousness and awareness of God's presence. And it's in a relationship with Him personally. It's sitting down with Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I love that. I often say this. He's not a shepherd. He's my shepherd. As long as the Lord is a healer, He's not your healer. As long as He's a Savior, He's not your Savior. Are you with me?
Yes.
No, He's the Lord that healeth thee.
Yes.
He is my healer. Hallelujah. He is my shepherd. Praise God. I'm sitting down with Him. And peace comes from that. Rightness of mind comes with that. Hallelujah. He was sitting down and clothed and in his right mind. Oh, man. I'll tell you, you get your mind so messed up in this world. You can get it messed up just watching the news. You can get it messed up just walking through life, you know. But if you want to get your mind right, you've heard the phrase, get right. Let's get right here, okay? Getting right with Jesus is not just coming out of your sin. Getting right with Jesus is getting your mind right. People often accuse us of being brainwashed. I agree. I take that tag. I wear it. I wear that badge proudly. My wash was so filthy. My brain was so filthy. I needed it washed. I got to Jesus and I got my brain washed. Hallelujah! Oh, happy day! Jesus washed my sins away. He washed the filth out of my brain. He washed the confusion out of my brain. He washed the torment and the pain and the anxiety out of my brain. And now I'm in my right mind. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've been brainwashed. And yours is still dirty. Come on in, get your brain washed. That's what you ought to say. Yeah, I've been brainwashed, no doubt about it. You walk around with your old filthy brain, I've got mine washed. Come to Jesus and get it all cleaned up. Glory. Turn with me to Luke 10. A couple passages I want to get to here. Not two scriptures, two passages. Luke 10. I love this. These two passages go together. Luke the 10th chapter, 38 verse. Luke 10, 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha. Martha, I'm so glad you're here today. I'll just preach to you. That just it just happened that way, okay? Don't think I'm... Okay, all right. Now, it happened as they... It just happened. Didn't I say that? Just happened, okay. It happened as they went that they entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, Martha was a nice woman. I mean, she was a godly woman and loved God and, you know, was doing godly things, no question. Good people. You know, you can be a good person and still be frustrated. You can be a good person and feel a lack of purpose in your life, be bored with life as it is, you know, and just fight depression and all kinds of things. Why am I here? What's it all about? What's going on here? You know, you got to get to Jesus. Yeah. You need to sit down with Him. You need to have a little one-on-one with Jesus. I mean, if I can't get you to Jesus, I've missed my point as a pastor anyway. If the church doesn't get you to Jesus, it's missed its calling too. Because this whole thing's about Jesus. And our job is to lift Him up. And if we lift Him up, He'll draw all men to Him. Amen. It's all about getting to Him. Even our food ministry is about getting to Jesus. We help people that need help, and we want to reach out to people. But we provide an opportunity with everybody to pray with everybody, get them to Jesus. Maybe they don't all take it, but that's our purpose, and we don't lose focus on what we're about. Even in giving out food, it's still about getting people to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it's about getting kids to Jesus. It's about the Lord. Now, everybody out there is not going to get saved, I understand, but there are people out there that are going to hear about Jesus that wouldn't hear about Him any other place. They don't go to church anywhere. Their parents don't go to church. They come to Hallelujah Night, and they hear about Jesus. Are you with me? Because that's our focus. That's our purpose. Whatever it is we do, it's about getting people to Him. Why? Because I can't help you. But Jesus can. He helped me. He helped me. And I know He can help you. I remember the anxiety. I don't know if you remember if you got saved later in life or maybe if you're a little child, you probably don't remember. My children always knew the Lord and, you know, don't know exact time when they got saved because they were raised up in it. But, you know, at some point, I mean, obviously it's a revelation to them and they all know Jesus. I can't point to a date, you know, when they did. In my case, I can. I was 19 when I accepted Jesus. And I remember the turmoil. I do. I remember the frustration and the anxiety and the emptiness and the lack of purpose and the fear of the future. I remember that. And I try to put it off and put it off and put it off, and I couldn't put it off. I thought about it too much, I guess, in a good way. I couldn't quit thinking about it. I don't know. I just read a lot. Even back then, I was lost. I picked up some good habits from my dad. My dad was a big reader, and with all that... you know, that he was. He loved to read and still loves to read, and I picked up that habit. So I used to read all the time. So I'd think about dying. I'd think about eternity. I'd think about... And I didn't believe in God. In my teenage years, I didn't. And I started thinking, wow, is this it? Going to die? Nothing else? And I had no purpose. I had nothing. Nothing gave me joy. How could you have joy in anything if when you die, you're dead and there's nothing else? What does it matter whether you die today or... 100 years from now, there's nothing out there. But boy, if there's a day coming, hallelujah, that we're going to find out what this is all about. We're going to step into real joy. Amen. That man, everything here has purpose. Everything here has a reason. In other words, I can make reason in life and purpose and logic out of it. But I remember the anxiety, the pain. I remember the emptiness, the hurt, I mean, just inside of me. I vividly remember it, how miserable I was at 19 years old. The time of your life you ought to be happy and joyful and having a big time. I was just miserable. Tried drugs, tried everything, you know, trying to meet that void or meet that need, and it wasn't there. Wasn't there. It made it worse. The drugs didn't help. You'd wake up and you wouldn't have any money left. Spend all your money. And that's what you put your trust in. You'd wake up and wouldn't even know where you were. I woke up places didn't know how I got there. Couldn't wait to go back and hit it again. Just real smart. Real smart. But I remember when I accepted Jesus. Oh, my. I remember I had such a peace that just came on me. I didn't get hit with a lightning bolt. I didn't get saved in church. A guy witnessed to me for months on a job that I actually made fun of and cussed him to his face and cussed God, grabbed his hand and said, "Let's talk to God right now," and I cussed God right in front of him. Guy turned red and turned around and walked off. That's how lost and just ungodly I was. And yet he kept praying for me, kept loving me. And I remember accepting Jesus, 1975, May of 1975 is when it was, in Red Bluff, on Red Bluff Road, Chateau Creole Apartments, in Red Bluff Road, Deer Park, Texas. That's Pasadena. We're right on the edge of Pasadena, Texas. I remember when I called on Jesus, and all I did was just call on him. I didn't say, you know, "Jesus, come into my heart." I didn't know all the formula. I just knew I needed Jesus. I tried for several days to clean my life up. I put my drugs up on a shelf in case it didn't work. You know, I'd go back and get them. And I didn't cuss for 2 or 3 days. And seriously, I thought that was it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be nice and go to heaven. I was going straight to hell. I was so miserable. And I came in that day and I laid down on this hallway, this little hallway between 2 rooms in this apartment. Brenda was at work and I think I had to go get Chris. Chris was about 1.5 years old. I laid down on my back and I said, "God, I can't do this." I was just as honest. It was the first time I ever remember praying. I know that sounds sad, but I might have prayed when I was a little kid, but I don't remember. And it's the first time I ever remember really praying, all this trying to get right. I finally came to Jesus, you know. And I laid on my back and I said, "God, I can't do this. I can't do this." It wasn't real emotional at the time. I wasn't really into crying then. Now I cried, drop the hat. I'll drop the hat. But I said, "God, I just can't do this. I cannot do this." And I said, "Jesus," it's the first time I remember saying Jesus. I said, "Jesus, if you can help me, help me." That's all I said. And I got up off my back and I think I went and got Chris at that time. He's at the daycare. And no lightning bolt hit me. But I'll tell you, a peace just came on me. Just little by little throughout the day and the next day. I just felt like a different person. All the weight was gone. All the turmoil was gone. The frustration was gone. It was a happy day, amen, as it were. And of course, looking back, I can't tell it without crying now. At the time, I didn't. I was serious. I was seriously needing help. And I was asking God to help me, you know. And I called His name. And you know what the Bible says? "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what I did. I know a whole lot more now than I did then. But I'll tell you what, at that point in time, I was born again. I met Jesus, and I met peace. My life, all of a sudden, had purpose. It made sense. My life made sense. Brent and I started going to church immediately that weekend. We started looking for churches to go to. You didn't have to force me to. Something happened on the inside of me. It just something happened, changed me. I started talking about the Lord. No one told me to do that. I just wanted everybody to have what I had. Something happened to me. And all my friends were, you know, they were on drugs. And so I would tell them about Jesus. And every one of them, listen, all of them realized something happened to me because they'd seen me the day before. They knew me. A lot of my friends got saved. But I didn't force them into it. I mean, I didn't condemn them. I had nothing to condemn them for. I was that way just a few days before myself. I had no stones to throw. I didn't know I was supposed to dislike them. Are you with me? I just wanted them to have what I had. Because I saw them searching the places I'd searched, and I knew it wasn't there. that I found what they were looking for. And I tell them that. I said, I've got what you're looking for. I found peace. I found God. I found Him in Jesus. I mean, I was passionately telling them about it. And they would say, okay, you know, they'd smoke around all that drink and everything. Oh, that's great, Mike. We're proud for you. But I tell you, little by little, many of those people got saved. One of them, of course, was Don Murphy. You've heard me tell the story. He pastors in my hometown. And he was one of those guys I was hanging around with. And he finally got saved. January the 1st, 1980. Called me on the telephone. I witnessed him for 3 years. And he finally turned his life over to the Lord. Well, I'm telling you, this is real. This is not an idea. It's not a concept. It's not a principle. It's a person. We can argue about concepts and doctrines, but you can't argue about a person. I met Jesus. I found Jesus, and I found peace. Y'all still in Luke 10?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here was Martha. It happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Whoa, she got it. I tell you what, if Jesus showed up in my house, I wouldn't be cleaning house.
That's right.
And if you know me, I probably wouldn't be cleaning house anyway. But anyway, another story altogether. And Brendan said amen. But I would be sitting down at Jesus' feet hearing what he has to say. Are you kidding me? I'm here to tell you, he is accessible now. You can sit at his feet now. You can come to him anytime. The old song, remember that song? Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You can eat at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, calleth now, come and dine, come and dine. Well, he's calling all of us to come to him. Come to him. It's real simple. Just get to Jesus. Get to him. Come on, you can get to him. You can sit down at his table and you can eat anytime. Hallelujah. The master's calling. Come and dine, come and dine. Woo. So it says here, 40th verse, but Martha was troubled or distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I'm all by myself here, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm down here working with the church, and nobody else is down here working with me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody appreciates me. Hello. I'm doing this for Jesus, and look, nobody even cares. And eventually we'll go, and Jesus, you don't even care. Wait a minute. Oh. Sound like you're too busy doing things for him. And you're not busy enough going to him. You're not spending enough time with him. You spend a lot of time doing things for him, but you're not spending a lot of time with him. And I say this often too, and it's the truth. I run across ministers all the time that are burnt out. They're just burnt out. I just choose not to burn out. I just decided I'm not going to burn out. People ask me, don't you ever burn out? No, I don't want to. And I decide I'm not going to.
That's right.
Well, you've been pastoring for 28 years. Aren't you telling me you don't get tired of pastoring? Well, maybe from time to time. A thought crosses my mind, but I never get tired of ministering to Jesus. I never get tired of talking to Jesus. I never get tired of worshiping Jesus. I never get tired of going to Jesus. And people that burn out, they've probably not spent enough time with Jesus.
That's right.
You can burn out ministering for Jesus, but you can't burn out ministering to Jesus. You can burn out spending time doing things for Jesus, but you can't burn out spending time with Jesus. Are you out there? You going home? I remember. See, I just keep thinking about when I got saved. I keep thinking about the turmoil and the anxiety and the emptiness I had before I came to Jesus. I will never forget that. I will never forget what He did for me.
Amen.
And so whenever I feel that way, I just get over back in His presence again. Because that's how I got rid of that pain then. I'm going to get rid of it that way now. Get to Jesus. Call out to Jesus. Martha was troubled about many, many things. Not you, Martha. The Martha about. Says she was distracted and 41st verse, Jesus answered him and said, now you gotta catch the humor in this. Martha, Martha. Martha, 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 Martha. I mean, she was just probably rattling. I don't think we probably get the full impact here, and probably not everything she said, but she's probably just rattling, you know, just in a tizzy, you know. I mean, what am I going to do? I need some help. Jesus, would you please tell Mary to get over here and help me? Jesus, I am just serving and working. And, Jesus! And Jesus, just as calm and like he always is, you know, just peaceful like he always is. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. You are worried and troubled about many things. And listen to this. But one thing's needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. She's chosen to sit at my feet and hear my word. That's why you're so frustrated. That's why you're so upset. That's why you're about to come apart, you know, and about to pass out here.
That's right.
Because you haven't sat down at my feet.
Amen.
Now, won't you stop all that, whatever it is that you're doing that's religious, won't you stop that for a minute and sit down at my feet and hear what I have to say, and let me give you strength,
yes,
and let me give you peace,
yes,
and let me restore your mind and your sanity. Amen?
Amen.
Because it comes from Him, see? It doesn't even come from what we do. Peace does not come from what we do.
Come on.
Are you listening? It doesn't come from the things I do for Jesus. Peace comes from Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all see that? Because you'll get confused and you'll get disappointed. And I'll tell you, you will be frustrated. If you think just doing things for God is going to give you peace.
That's right.
You need to do those things for God. You ought to love people. You ought to reach out to people. You ought to obey God. But my peace, man, it comes from Jesus. It comes from Him, and I can get there anytime. And whether I succeed in the thing or not, or whether it works or doesn't work, that doesn't give me peace. My peace comes from Him. Whether the ministry explodes or doesn't explode, and it should grow, and we ought to believe God for growth, but my peace doesn't come from that. My peace comes from Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You follow me? I want it to grow. Yeah, we believe for success. We believe for that we reach out to people that's going to make a difference and all those things. But my peace doesn't come from the things I do for Jesus.
Amen.
My peace comes from Him.
Yeah.
And anybody here can do that.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Matthew 11, we'll close this out.
Wow.
Glory. Matthew 11. Boy, this is, you know, there's nothing I minister here tonight or said here, I mean this morning, scriptures I've used that you don't know or hadn't already heard. You just got to put it together, amen? Put it together and do it. Get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus sets us free, amen?
Amen.
In the 28th verse, well, most of you quote this. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, go do this, and you'll have rest. He said, come to me. You know, he didn't even say, go love people, and you'll have peace. Now, he did tell us to love people, no question. But he said, come to me, and I'll give you peace. Come to me. Come to me. See, we're out there doing this and running around like chickens with our heads cut off. You ever seen a chicken with his head cut off? I won't go into all that, but anyway, they run around for a little while. I mean, it's just amazing, you know. You just let's bring back memories. Okay, come to me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. This is not a deep message, y'all. Okay, just get to Jesus. Well, what about this? What about that? What about just get to Jesus? Okay. Sit down at His feet, and you'll be clothed in your right mind, okay? Sit down at His feet, and you won't be troubled and worried about so many things. And you won't be frustrated about so much in your life. And so many things won't rattle you. You'll just get to Him. Just get to Jesus. You can get to Him. He's reachable. He's attainable. You know, everybody in the Bible that got a miracle believed that they could get to Jesus, if you think about it. Even in Mark, the second chapter, the man that was let down through the roof. He was sick of the palsy. He had four friends that took him up to the roof. They got to that house and it was packed. They couldn't even get in. But they believed that Jesus was reachable. And so they thought, well, if we have to take the roof off, we'll get to him. And they did. And the woman with the issue of blood in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, there was a whole crowd pressed, the multitude pressed upon him. And she had an issue of blood 12 years in a weakened condition, but she believed that Jesus was reachable. And you know what? She pressed through the crowd. And she got him. And she got her miracle. You have to believe that he is reachable, and he is. But you have to, at all costs, whatever you have to do, if you have to take the roof off, if you have to press through the crowd, if you have to get unbusy, if that's the case. I'm just too busy. Well, you are. You're way too busy if you can't get to Jesus. You have to press through the crowd, and you have to get to him. You must get to Jesus. You must get to him. Because he's the only one that can satisfy the longing of your soul. He is the only one that can give you peace. There is nothing in this world that will do it. All the money that you think you need, the relationship with someone that you're concerned about, you should pray about all those things. I agree. Whatever is going on in your life, nothing is going to get you peace except Jesus. That's it. And I believe God wants to bless you, and I believe God wants to heal you, and I believe God wants to prosper you, and all these things. I understand that the Scripture is plain, but peace doesn't come from any of that. Peace comes from Him. And from you getting to Him. And Jesus is saying, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, you carry way too much weight. And I'm not talking about your physical body. You're carrying way too much weight. You need to cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You put a yoke around yourself, you need to take His yoke. It's easy. You put a huge burden on yourself, you need to take His burden. It's light. You need to learn of Him and be at peace.
That's it.
See, the Lord will give us strength, the Bible says, and He will give His people peace. He will. He gives the strength and the peace we need. And actually, He gave it to us when He gave us Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is our peace. Amen.